I preached to you how David slew the lion, the bear, and the giant. I preached to you how faithful Abraham, at a great age, renewed his youth and went out and fought a war and won. And I read to you about the great things of Elijah, how that by faith he went on until he was translated and taken out of this world, and how Enoch did that by faith. All of that is by faith. I preach about these stories and these acts of God, and I just preach them as a story. But the truth is that these men did that by faith. All of those things that we preach to you as to what they did is not just a story, not something to excite you as to what they did, but we are telling you that they did these things by faith. They conquered these things by faith. The Hebrew children conquered the flames and the furnace by faith. Daniel conquered the lions in the lion's den by faith. And all of the great things that was ever accomplished down through the Bible, it was by faith. David run through a troop, leaped over a wall. His life was preserved in the midst of the battle. He did it by faith. The Bible said the elders obtained a good report by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't believe there's a God, you're not going to get anywhere. And if you don't believe that he is a rewarder of you, though you diligently seek him, you may fast, you may pray, you may do all kinds of things, but unless you can believe in your heart that he's going to reward you for that, then you won't get anything. Because you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you want something from God, you can have it. You can have it. So often I read to you from one or two chapters here that's inspiring. I talk to you a lot by faith. And when I'm out on the field, I preach continually faith. Like in this meeting over in Kenya, every night, there's hardly a night that I went out to preach to the people, but what my text was on faith, because that's what they need. When I'm here, a lot of times I try to teach you the Word of God so that you can grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in the grace of God so that you will have the Word of His promise and the Word of His blessing in your heart and mind so you can believe the more and believe the greater. Because if you know the Word, then you can believe the Word. If you don't know the Word, you can't believe the Word. That's why the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that he that God sendeth will speak the word, and without the preacher you can't hear, because he is the one that brings you the Word of God. So that is why that we talk so much to you about the Word of God. Now I want you to listen in the 11th chapter here. Let's read in the book of St. Mark in the 11th chapter. If you haven't got your Bible, then buy a Bible. You need to buy a Bible. A person that doesn't have a Bible could not be a Christian, unless it was just where they couldn't get any. Because a person that's a Christian, they'd give their clothes away to get a Bible before they do without a Bible. Even in Russia, they pleaded that we send them a Bible. Get yourself a Bible. When you come to church, bring your Bible with you. Now, I don't bring my Bible with me unless I'm out on the field preaching, because I have a couple of Bibles here. That's right here that I can get to. But you need to have your Bible with you. No man would go out to battle without taking his sword with him or his gun. That would be absurd to go to battle without a sword or something. In chapter 11, beginning at the first verse, it says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethany and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples." Now just a few days ago, we went over to Bethany. We was there at Lazarus' tomb. And this is where we was looking at the mustard seed. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the dole without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, let's just talk just a few minutes on this tonight. Try not to keep you long. It says here, and the scribes, the 18th verse, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him. That is, they were afraid of him. The Bible said, if you'll walk upright before God, I'll put the fear of all the world, all the nations upon you, and they'll be afraid of you because you're called by my name. So they were afraid of him. The reason they were afraid of him was because they knew he had favor with God. The Lord told Israel when they went into Canaan, said, this is the one thing that's going to be to your advantage, and this is for you. That when you enter into Canaan, all of the nations will fear you. As long as you walk upright before God, they will not try to attack you. They will not come against you. See, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In America, we've been exalted not because of our great power. I know that we Americans, we like to think nations tremble when they think about America, and they know we're great and mighty, and we're great many people, you know, and they dare not mess with us. But folks, that's not it at all. If you've ever looked on the map, you'll find out America ain't that big. And if you look at Russia, it's a huge place. And if you'll go by multitudes, you just check out China and you'll find a lot of folks. And you go into those countries and you'll find multitudes of people. See, so we have not been exalted because we're the great, mighty America, or because we are the great, mighty soldiers that fight. I dare say now, and I don't mean this discrediting, but I dare say now, our people are such a bunch of softies. I'm telling you, such a bunch of softies from sitting around and guzzling beer and staying up all night and watching TV that their bodies ain't fit to fight nowhere. But it'd be sad if they had to come man to man with some of those people overseas that have to live the rugged life that they live. I think about it a lot of times when I'm overseas. I think, God, it's a good thing that these people are blinded as to what America really is, or they'd eat us up over there. So, and you can't rely on strength as to missiles and these kind of things. The Bible said, lest God keeps the city, the watchman ariseth but in vain. And the Bible says that the battle is not to the strong, nor is the race to the swift. But it says that righteousness exalteth a nation. So then we've been exalted because God has found righteousness in America and found people with real, genuine hearts of salvation. Not a lot of people, but as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, if I can just find X amount of people there, I'll spare the whole place. He couldn't find that many. He had spared in days past because he just found a few people. Now, if I can just find a few, Abraham pleaded with him, if you can find thus and thus, thus and thus, and he narrowed it down and narrowed it down and narrowed it down, and until the last he never could find enough to spare the city. So to bless Abraham, he just brought those out that Abraham loved and destroyed the city. So in America, it's not such a great many people that God is sparing America for, but there are few people here that really love God. And because they love God, then God has spared America. And it's narrowing down more and more. More and more corruption is setting in, and less people are really diligent towards serving God. They're getting less and less all through America. And after a while, darkness is going to fall over America. Now, I told the people that what I understood, God would put Bush into office. Even when we were in Egypt, and Sister Betty made the statement, I'd love to know who went into office. I'm going to try to find out. I said, you don't have to. I can tell you, Mr. Bush went into office because the Lord had let me know he was going into office. And I said, he's gone into office, Betty, because the Lord, as I told the brethren before, was going to give a little more light. I said, the revelation of the Lord shows there'll be a little more light for the people before darkness comes. And if Dukakis had went in, your darkness would have come right then. And I said, God is going to put Mr. Bush in to give us a little more time, which he did. So then we can be grateful. We're not great and mighty and strong. David didn't slay the lion. He didn't slay the bear. He didn't slay the giant because he was great and mighty and strong. And he was the great, mighty David. Wasn't anything to David. Just a little shepherd boy on the side of a hill. If somebody had walked up and popped him on the side of the head, his breath that went out of me, he died right there. If God had backed off, the lion would have eat him up. Samson, when he reached out and grabbed that lion, he wasn't the great and mighty Samson. If he was the great and mighty Samson, how is it that all of his strength went from him when the anointing wasn't on him? And they chained him and they blinded him and they put him down at the mill to grind. If he was the great and mighty Samson, why didn't he pop the chains and walk off? Because he couldn't. It wasn't the great and mighty Samson. That wasn't what it was. It was the great and mighty Jesus. It's the great and mighty God. In Samson's life, it was Christ in his life. In Daniel's life, it wasn't the great and mighty Daniel. It was the great and mighty Christ that went down into the lion's den and locked the lion's mouth. And when the Hebrew children was in the fire, it wasn't the great and mighty Hebrew children. No, we sing about them, but that wasn't what it was. The Bible said, I throw three in there, the king said, and I see four all loose walking around the fire. And one of them, he says, looks like the Son of Man. So it was Christ. It's not that Brother Pike is great when I'm delivered, whether I'm overseas or whether I'm here or when I meet the needs for tens of thousands of dollars. That's not the great and mighty Brother Pike. It is Christ in my life. It is Christ with me. It is Christ that leads me. It is Christ that talks to me. It is Christ that does the things that I desire for him to do. And without him, as the songwriter said, I can do nothing. Jesus said of myself, I can do nothing. I'm a man. I can't do anything. But through Christ that strengthens me, Paul waxed bold and said, I can do all things. So then when I accomplish something, it is Christ. No matter what I do, I prayed for many people in my life. And there has been many, many healings. I could write a book of healings, outstanding, miraculous healings. I could write a book on it, a great book. I could write books on it. God has healed and healed and healed again. See, but it was Christ that did it. By faith in God, I could write another book on the great, miraculous way that God has kept his word in supplying all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But it is Christ that did it. I could stir the hearts of many people just through writing books. By the things that God has done in my life. Not only what God has done in my life in the past, what God is doing in my life right now, and what God's going to do in my life in the future. Why? Because I believe in God. I know the devil resents that. I've got carnal-minded people. They resent that. They say you're boasting. And I can say, glory to God, I'm boasting. I'm boasting. Hallelujah. I'm boasting. If you don't know it, I want to tell you. I'm boasting. But Paul said, I'm boasting in the Lord. When I boast, I'll boast in the Lord. When I boast, I'll boast in the Lord because I have no ability of my own to boast. So when I mock, I'll mock in the Lord. In that Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal, he mocked them in the Lord because he knew that he had power with God. He knew that he had God. And when he called those people to a contest, he wasn't worried about it. He said, maybe your God's asleep. You got to wake him up. He said, if he ain't asleep, maybe he's on a far journey somewhere and he just hadn't gotten back. See, he knew that all he had to do was call on his God. Well, that is, he was saying, if we're going to have a contest, he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you call on the lightning and the thunder and see if it'll honor you and see if your God will answer you. And if God won't, said, I'll call on him. Folks, I've called on the lightning and the thunder. I've called on it. I've commanded the winds. I've commanded the lightning. I've commanded the clouds. Oh, somebody said, bless God, Brother Pike. Do you really believe that? Praise God, I believe that. You know why I believe that? Because I've done that and I've seen it work. I mean, I've seen it work right then and there. And it's like when we were overseas a few days ago back over in Egypt. Over there when these men got to fighting, and I mean they were just crazy. They looked like they lost their minds. The way they were screaming and going on and just bellowing out like a bull. I mean like madmen. And we went out there trying to stop it. We couldn't get the thing stopped. And Brother Larry trying over here and me trying over here and David trying over here and men one with a stick and other screaming and running up into each other's faces and all of a sudden I saw one take two bottles and I heard them pop like that and he started with that jagged bottle out after one of them and I thought, my God, what in the world are we going to do? And I heard the Lord say, rebuke the devil. Said he's the one that's causing the problem. And then it dawned on me, I needed to rebuke the devil. So I said, in my heart, I whispered, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I command you to stop this foolishness. I command you that's causing the trouble to get out from here. And God knows this is the truth, so help me, God. While I had it in my breast and while I was saying it within my heart, the man got in the car immediately. And the one that was showing out, he run up real fast in the car like he's going to run over somebody. And he was throwing rocks over here at a kid on the camel and the camels and different things. And took off this way, left immediately. And I said, you know what I did? I said within my heart, he's bad. And they was telling me how bad he was. And some of the others, bad. But in my heart, I said, no. I said, that's the devil. I'm going to pray for that man. And you know what? Before the day was over, I believe, I went right around down to another store or immediately after that, and here comes this mean, bad fella in. And I walked up and I slapped him on the arm like that, and I said, I'm praying for you. And he said, I appreciate that. Let's give a Lord. See, well, he wasn't big and bad. It was just a devil. That's all it was. The man was just like me or anybody else. He'd just gone wild. He'd lost his senses. And he felt like somebody had done him an injustice. See, I said that to say this. If you do something great, it's Christ. If you do something foolish, it's the devil. Because what you're doing, you're giving your life to one power or another, one spirit or another. And if you want to be great in the sight of God, then you can be great in the sight of God. Then you would say, well, how can I be great, Brother Pike? The Bible said if you would be great, be a minister. Minister to the people. If you have to wash their feet, if you have to give them bread or whatever, he said, and then you're great in the sight of God. As it was said of John, John was great in the sight of God. And you know, a lot of times we talk about the greatness of John because he was. And the Bible said, there's none born among women that's any greater than John. So John was great. So was Abraham. So was Elijah. So was Daniel. So was the many great, mighty people of the Old Testament. Mighty people. And so was Solomon in his mighty wisdom. But a greater than Solomon is here. Greater than Solomon is here. Not only that, but those that were great in the Old Testament, as Abraham and Elijah, there's a greater than Elijah. There's a greater than Abraham. There's a greater one here than John. Because the Bible said, he that is least in the kingdom of God as a member of the body of Christ is the body of Almighty God, and he is greater than John. And there's none greater than John. No, not Abraham, nor Elijah, nor anybody else. Today we're not dealing with John. We're not dealing with Solomon. We're not dealing with Abraham. We're dealing with the body of Almighty God, the very membership itself, as the bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh. And that's why I get excited. It's something to get excited about. Some of you that don't get excited, you couldn't be the body of God. You couldn't see the vision of Christ. You couldn't know what I'm talking about. That wouldn't be possible. Just to be a little old president. Or a little old king in the earth and on all the world, which would be like nothing. Paul said, owning the beggarly elements, like carrying a little pot of junk. And yet you'd be so thrilled that you wouldn't be able to contain yourself. And here I am, the Christ child, owning all of eternity. And not get excited, you couldn't see what I'm looking at. So then we love the Lord. We love the Lord. See, we believe in the Lord. We have faith in God. Oh, you don't have faith. Oh, yes, I have faith. Amen. I have faith in God. So God has put faith in my heart to believe. Now, what must I do? Must I deny that faith and say I don't have that faith? No, I must cultivate that faith. I must work with that faith. I must do something for God. What can that faith do for you, Brother Pike? Well, it's made me eternal forever. It's given me life, riches, power, eternal life. Everything is eternal with me forever and forever and forever and forever. So then it has made me happy. It has made me healthy. It's made me strong. It's kept me alive. It gives me the desires of my heart. Takes me wherever I want to go. God watches over me around all of my enemies. Why is that? Because I believe in God. That's why that I stood in Kenya when the anointing came upon me and I screamed out like a wild man to those people. I said, I defy your God Allah. I said, he ain't nothing but a myth. I said, and I defy every God in the world. I said, there is no God but Jesus Christ. I defy you to prove it. Anything outside of that. Because there is no God except Jesus Christ. So then we are the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the earth. We are his witnesses because he is God. He said, there is no other God. I know not of any. I preached to them people. I said, folks, he said there is no other God. He said, I know not of any. He said, when I stretched the heavens out, I did it all by myself. He said, there wasn't another God to help me. I said, the Bible said one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. I said, if the Bible says there's but one God, I said, then where is this Allah? I said, where is these other gods? When you speak of Buddhists and all of these other gods, I said, if there's but one God and he's Jesus Christ, then where is room for all these other gods? I said, there ain't no other gods. And you know what? They become convinced. They become convinced. So then we're here tonight to talk about Jesus, to love Jesus. When these men did the great things that they did in the Old Testament, that wasn't another God, that was Christ. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. So then there's but one God. That was Christ in their lives. It's the same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. To a thousand generations, his word is unaltered. And when his word comes to us as it did the prophets, if we believe it, if the word is mixed with faith, it will profit us. But Israel not mixing the word with faith, that didn't profit them anything. But I believe the word and I mix it with faith. That's why I say when you do something, that's a proof of what you believe. The writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you what I believe by my efforts. And when you begin to invest in the word of God as to your time and substance, as they did in the early church when they sold all they had, they laid it down at the apostles' feet, and they followed day by day, going to house. And the Bible said they broke bread with each other. They remained with each other. They worshiped God, going from house to house and praising God all day long, helping the widows, helping those that were in need. And when we get to the place to where we're interested in world evangelism and interested in the hungry and the poor, the needy, all these other things that God has commanded us to do as to the desire of God, then we believe. Until we do that, we do not believe. Or somebody says, but I give an offering. That doesn't prove that you are a believer. Somebody says, well, show it to them in the Bible. Ananias and Sapphira gave an offering, but they kept some for themselves. They wasn't believers, and God killed them. So it doesn't prove that you believe just because you give. It doesn't prove that you are a believer because you come to church. David said, I've seen them come to the house of God. I've seen them leave the house of God, and I've seen them turned into hell. So it doesn't prove anything because you come to the house of the Lord. See, but it is a true fact that if you are a believer, you will give. And if you are a believer, you will come to the house of God. It doesn't prove that you are a believer because you wear the long dresses as the ladies. That doesn't prove anything because there's wolves that are in sheep clothing all over the world. That doesn't prove anything. But it is a true fact that if you are a child of God and a sheep, you'll put on the long dresses, ladies, and you'll cover up your body. So, I said all of that just to let you know that we can have faith in God. When you have faith in God, you will do the things that please God. That is the proof of your faith in God. When you are half-hearted in what you do, then that means you're half-hearted in your believing. When you are slothful as to do what God told you to do, that means that you are just partial in God. You're not really going on with God like you ought to go. The Bible says that we ought to go on to a full reward. And then a lot of times people that do things wrong, you can do some things wrong that's a lot worse than other things. I know a lot of people don't believe that. But Jesus said, they that have delivered me into the hands of Pilate, he said, they have the greater sin. They've committed the greater sin. There is a greater sin, and there is a depth with the devil, and there is a greater punishment that you come into. So then, there is a greater sin, just like as to a greater unbelief, as to a greater sin, there is a greater place in God that you can obtain. There is a greater faith. Someone would say, what is greater, Brother Pike? Well, as it was said to the disciples when they said, and what will we receive in that we have given our lives wholly unto you? We've left our wives, we've left our homes, left everything. Jesus said, in these kind of words, it'll be great. Because when I sit upon a throne, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So there was a greater thing. He gave them a throne. See, so when we do great things, that's why I tell you a lot of times, I want to do something for God, Brother Taylor. I want to do something for God, and I'm trying to do something for God. But I want to do something greater than I've done before. And I want to do something great for God. Now, I'm not going to sit around waiting for some great thing to come to my life and neglect the little things and let the little foxes spoil my vines as to my negligence. I'm not going to wait around for some great miraculous thing to happen in my life. That is to say, while I don't do the other things at hand that I could do. I'm not going to do that. I never will forget, I related this to you quite a number of times when I was coming up in my real early ministry. The Lord said, get busy and do something for me. I said, there's nothing that I can do. I don't know what to do. The Lord said, from door to door, I had a job. He said, going from door to door, witness to these people. I began to do that. And as I rode down the road, I remember him telling me so plainly. He said, you see these trees? I looked around me, the pine trees of Georgia. I began to look at them. And he said, son, said, do you get anything out of observation of these trees? I thought, well, you know, it's a pine tree. Georgia's known for the pine trees. He said, no. He said, look at the little pine needles. He said, do you see how many thousands of little pine needles is on that tree? And all of a sudden, it began to strike me. I was looking at a big tree. But God was looking at the little things that made the tree. And you know, that's where we get off trail, folks. We look at the big things and we wait for the big things and we forget that it's the little things that makes the big things. And God said, consider the earth, son. He said, how many billions of grains of sand does it take to make up this great earth? And he said, always remember little things and don't despise little things. The Bible said in the day of little things, don't despise little things. He said, it's these little things that's going to build your ministry. He said, take every little thing as you go and every person that you can witness to and every little testimony and every little word and every little thought, put it all together day after day and year after year and you'll have a ministry. And I started doing that and I've never stopped doing that. And that's why I say a lot of times, let's print some tracts, put it in this language and put it in this language and put it in another language, and let's just take one tract over here and you take a tract and I take a tract and you give every person a tract. You understand what I'm saying? And we've been doing that for years. Betty and I have been doing that for years. We take a little trip over here. Maybe we didn't have just enough money to put in a few gallons of gas, but we run over here a few miles, over yonder a few miles. I had to spend a night here, 3 or 4 days over here, 4 or 5 days over yonder, 3 weeks in another place. And after a while, it began to go together. And now, by the glory and help of God, we're touching lives all over the world. All over the world. We get letters, precious letters. Letters that are unbelievable. Letters, if I quote the things to you that are said, you'd think I was all out of proportion and lifting myself up too much. As I say, you think some of the people here on the home front praise Brother Pike a little too much. They don't even touch some of the letters we get. They don't even touch them. People also tell us, as some letters we've got recently, they say, Brother Pike, since this ministry has come my way, I am a new creature. My world has changed. And they say, we're winning souls since you taught us how. Oh, you say, now you're lifting yourself up. See, there you go. Say that you taught them how. Oh, that's just a little thing they put in the letter. I wish you could read what they really said. But anyway, they're so grateful. They're so thankful to God. We got a letter from the Atlantic Beacon just in the last day or two. It's a letter that really stirs me to the bottom of my heart. And I can't very well tell you concerning the letter as to just come out and tell you what it is, because it spotlights some people that are the leading evangelists of our age. But this boy wrote a letter and he said, Brother Pike, I heard your program over the Atlantic Beacon. This is out of Jamaica. We cover many, many islands. As a matter of fact, as of late, we've got letters from islands that I never have heard of. But this boy wrote a long letter, and he told us the things that had happened to him. He said that he had come up I wish we had the letter. He'd come up in a home where he didn't know a whole lot about Christianity, but he'd been coached into something concerning Christianity, to only find out later that he was wrong. Baptized to find out later he didn't even know the meaning of it. But then he did come into the understanding of God and told of some beautiful experiences. But then all of a sudden, he began to read different ministers' literature. And he listened to this great evangelist on TV. And he come to believe that he was a man of God. So he sent for his literature. And then he also got some literature from his son. And he went on and on and on. And he told how that this literature literally wrecked him. He said, "It wrecked me, Brother Pike." And he went on to tell how that he began to hallucinate or have different kind of visions or whatever, and saw this little creature about 2 feet tall that was in the likeness of the image of a man, and said he was shatter-like, said he came before him and jumped up on his back. And he said, "I began to feel weird." And he said, I called on the name of Jesus, but it didn't leave. Said it entered into my back. And he said, "I felt weird." And he began to express his feelings and what he did after this. And how it affected his life and even being in school. The people there. And he went on and on expressing what this did to him. One of the things that the evangelist had sent him was I believe it was 13-week something in session. He had to go through it for 13 weeks as to the study and whatever, which he said he did. And he said, "The results of all of this, Brother Pike," he said, "I curse God." He said in the experience, he went on with the experiences of all the things. And then he said, "I've heard your program." And he said, I contacted you. And he said, "I want to know if I've blasphemed the Spirit and gone too far. And nothing left for me. And there's nothing left for me but death." That's very sad. I wish you could read the letter, because the many things he says in it that will really stir your heart. I said that to say this. That is... can I say a leading evangelist? Or can I say the leading evangelist? That's why you need to believe God, folks. That's why you need to have faith in God. That's why you need to have faith in what we're telling you. That's the kind of a letter that he wrote. That was the kind of results that he said he got. While at the same time, God has been so gracious to me in this ministry that we're getting letters from all over the world. And they are praising God and telling what great and mighty things God has done in their life and how that this ministry has affected them to bring them out of things like that into great and mighty things to make them soul winners. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then that's why that I want to uphold the Lord, and that's why I want to pray, and that's why I want to be sincere and godly and holy, not by my ability, but by His. I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you sincerely. I pray that God will heal you. I pray that God will keep you. I pray that God will supply your needs. I pray that God will watch after your loved ones. I believe that He's going to do that. And He does do that. Now, it takes a little work sometimes with faith, like Brother Taylor this morning. He was out there. I was up early before daylight. I've been up quite a number of mornings trying to get something done before daylight. Brother Taylor, I got outside, and there he sat in the car right at the road in his truck, trying to get a little heat there, watching for the little children to come across. That isn't even Brother Taylor's job. That's the security's job. But I understand the security hadn't shown up for a number of days in doing that. Whereas I say this to the securities, and I say that to our leaders, to me, to Brother Taylor, whoever, a title don't mean nothing to God. You may have the title of Christianity. The Bible said there are many that they have a name that they live, but they're dead. There's numbers of people here that have titles that don't do nothing. Not anything. There's numbers of them that their wife does all of their work. I said this a lot of times to different ones. That we can back off and let the wife do the work. Having a title, it's no good. We'll die and go to hell. If we let the wife take care of the situation, then the wife will go to heaven and we'll go to hell. Oh, well, I don't think so, Brother Pike. I think it'll all work out. It will all work out. It'll work out that you'll go to hell. God isn't going to alter. He's going to change. You'll go to hell. When you don't do your job and you let your wife do the job, you'll go to hell. If a man is in the family and he lets that wife make a living and he don't work and make the living, he'll go to hell. The Bible said he's worse than an infidel. He'll go to hell. Now, and this is the same way here. The Bible said make provisions for your family, your loved ones, but especially for the household of faith. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know this don't set well, but we're going to give him a hand anyway because every bit of it's true. It's going to happen. You let the woman do it and the woman will go to heaven and you'll go to hell. There's a place in the Bible where God gave a charge to a man and said, go do thus and thus. And the man drawed back and a woman walked up. And the woman said, didn't God tell you to do so? Yes. Well, he wouldn't do it. She said, I'll do it. And according to the Bible, she did it. And she took the crown. She took the crown. When the woman does it, she takes the crown. With God, there's no respect of person as to male or female. And when the woman does it, she's the one that's going to get the reward. Somebody said, well, I just can't handle that end of it. Well, I got a handle. It's called fasting and praying and talking to God through the night that you can't handle. And if she's going to do that part of it, you need to do the other part of it. My wife not only does that of book work and whatever, but like this morning before daylight, while I was around in the house trying to get ready to get out, I looked for her. She wasn't in the bedroom. When I looked, she was on her knees over by my prayer chair. She was praying. She does that with a regularity. You know why she does that? Because she believes. You say, what kind of believer is she? She believes that she, if she don't pray, she'll die and go to hell. And folks, that's the right kind of believing, because that's exactly what's going to happen to me and going to happen to you and happen to your children. If they don't pray and believe God and fast and study and grow in the grace and knowledge of God and do something as a proof of their faith, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. All right, just thought I'd talk to you about faith. That seemed kind of odd for a sermon on faith, don't it? But that's real, folks. That's the right way. I intend to do what I can for God. I might never do what you've done, or I might not never be as great as you are. I might never do what some of the evangelists on the field does or be as great as they are. But there's one thing about it, I can do what I can. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'm going to do by his help. Without him, I can't do anything. But by his help, I'm going to do what I can. You know where I'm going to do it? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what I'm going to do. If you want to go with me, you can. If you want to help me, you can. If you want to sit back and make excuses and say, well, I can't do it, you can do that. So you shorten your life by your disobedience, and disobedience means that you don't do what you know to do. As you grow into knowledge of grace and you don't do it, then the Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So you shorten your days by your disobedience, or that is coming to the knowledge of what you could do in helping in the gospel, and you don't do it, then you shorten your days by your disobedience. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate you tonight. I thank the Lord for every one of you. And we're just exhorting you a little bit. The Bible said exhort each other the more as we see the day approaching. And I can see the day approaching. Many of you are idle. The Bible said that God, when the man went out into the vineyard, he found them idle. And he hired them and he put them into the vineyard, even them that was at the last hour. And God gave to them as to the last hour the same as he did as them to the first hour, because he so loved them that he was willing to do that for them, though they not labored like the others. And the Bible says, as we are people of this age, we've entered into the labors of others. Many people like Abraham, Elijah, and others, and the apostles, they've labored, and we've entered into the advantage and the benefits of their labor. But still, if we are faithful to do our part, you will reward us just as much as another. But to lag around, to lounge around, to leech around, to let somebody carry your load, to let somebody else do your job, and you never help and you never get out and do something for God, and to see these things, to see your brother in need and shut up your bowels of compassion, and year after year just feed your own bellies and look to your own thing and look to your own quarter for your own gain, you'll die and go to hell. If Brother Pike does it, he'll die and go to hell. If I look to you to supply my needs, I'll die and go to hell, and I won't have my needs supplied. In the first place, you're not able to supply my need. It's too big. And if it wasn't too big, I'd make it too big so you couldn't supply it. So I'd have to depend on God. I make my needs bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. And I know some of you grunt and grumble too. Think, God, we give 10,000, now I want 20,000. Well, if you'll just hold on, I want 200,000 or 300,000 more in just a little while if you'll hold on, because I'm trying to increase it all the time. The Bible says, spread out your curtains, make it bigger. You that you grunt and grumble over your few thousand dollars you've given, a few hundred dollars that you've given, you know, grunting and grumbling over it, thinking that Brother Pike ought to economize and minimize, I got news for you. I'm fixing to enlarge my borders by the help of God. I'm fixing to enlarge my faith. God asked me to increase my faith to the extent of strengthening my faith for greater things in God. So if you've been taking care of me, you might as well to cancel out, because it's going to take double what you make now, and you're not going to be able to do it. Let's give him another hand. So then I don't depend on you. I'm looking to God to meet my needs. He gave me a promise he'd supply all of my needs. I am so thankful, I am so grateful, so appreciative to everyone that gives even a penny toward the things of Christ. I am so grateful. I'm so thankful. I want you to know it means so much to me, more than you could ever dream of what it means to me. But at the same time, I'm looking to Christ. I'm leaning on Christ. We sing that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Leaning on Jesus. I'm leaning on Jesus. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. And that's what I'm doing. Tonight, some of you pressed yourself. Whereas I whispered in my heart, Lord, don't let them do it. Don't let them do nothing except those that you want to do it, or those that you feel can do it, don't let them do nothing for me. As a matter of fact, I told somebody today, it comes across my mind, I individually was speaking with him, and I said, don't press yourself for me. They wanted to do something for the Lord. I said, don't press yourself for me. I said, don't hurt yourself for me at all, because I don't desire it of you. I said, I believe God. He'll meet my needs. He'll meet my needs. I've been in the foreign fields all over the world. I've been where there was no food and poverty. And God not only met my needs, but sometimes having 10, 11 people with me who had taken plenty of money, spent out, believed God in the midst of nothing, and God multiplied the fishes and the loaves, and I had to bring them home. God met the needs. So that's the way the Lord works. He doesn't want to take from you. He wants to give to you. And any time the Lord moves on you that you give, like the little widow, he didn't want what the little widow had. He didn't send Elijah over there to take her little cakes away from her so her son would starve to death. God didn't do that. He sent Elijah over there to build faith in her heart so that she wouldn't starve to death, because he saw the cakes was given out. And if something wasn't done, she was going to starve to death. So he did that for her. He isn't trying to get anything out of you. Can you imagine God, Almighty God, who made everything, that paves streets with gold and hangs gates out of pearls, builds walls of jasper, trying to get what little you've got. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me. He said, I own a cattle of 1,000 hills. He said, all the gold is mine and all the silver is mine. But he spoke of you giving that you things might be clean unto you and to build your faith. See, so I don't desire it of you. I'm not asking of you. I'm not soliciting. All these evangelists that goes around soliciting all the time and peddling and selling and all these things, that's not God. God is not in that at all. There's nowhere where you find Elijah ever doing that. He only went over to that little widow just so she could be spared. So we're here to preach faith to you. And the parents are to lay up for the children, not the children for the parents. I believe for you. I pray for you. I spend my life praying for you. Cynthia was saying today that she knew. She said, I know, Daddy, that we're saved. Having been saved down through the years, the way we have of 8 children in the family and God having kept them in health and blessed them and kept them back from tragedies and all these things, we know that it has to be because you prayed for us. Whereas it is true to this extent, God has been merciful to me and merciful to my family. But see, the beauty is that she recognizes that. I said, Cindy, you need to be in church. Because they're big enough and old enough now that they have to answer for themselves. See, but the thing is, the beauty of it is, she recognized that. Like the leper, she came back and said, Dad, I'm thankful. See, but the problem is, I do that for you, and I've done that for you for years, and many of you never come back and recognize it. You just feel like everything's lucky for you, and everything's worked out because you've been smart. And you know how to hold this thing together, and you've got your good contract and a good job, and you're making it, and you're the person. But one day it's all going to blow up in your face, and you're going to say, look at yourself in the mirror and say, thou fool, to lean upon the arm of flesh. For the Bible said, cursed is he that leaneth upon the arm of flesh, or he that goeth down to Egypt. That is, look to the world and its sources for help. Thou fool. The rich man said, I'll build me greater barns. I'll tear down the old. I'll fill them up the more. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. So see, you're going to find out that you've not come back. That is to God. You've not come back and gave thanks. Nor praise, nor look to him, nor magnified him in your mind. But you've magnified you. And in magnifying you, you magnified the devil. Because the devil saveth the things that be of the flesh, which is you. So not being spiritual, not being godly, you've not fasted, you've not prayed, you've not turned to God, you've not thanked God, you've not come back to praise God, to give praises and honor and glory to him. And there's a bad day ahead for you. Bad day. One of these days, just going along, you feel all right, 30, 40 years old, feel all right, but all of a sudden, your health is just going to go out. Talk to somebody that knows. Many people all over the world, almost all of the people, just overnight, right in the middle of their life, their health is gone. Oh, they're strong, they're healthy. But all of a sudden, it's gone. And they can't figure it out. There's numbers of men standing here that has been as strong as a young ox. That is strong, not as strong as an ox, but strong like a young ox. I mean strong, healthy. And all of a sudden, their health is gone. Their strength is gone. They're still not up in age. And they are torn to bits, and they don't understand it. But I told them it would happen. I'm telling you again, it will happen. It will happen. Many people are dead that came to this sanctuary. Young folks, too. They're dead. They're gone, as well as elders. They're gone. They're gone. You next? Me next? Who knows? Oh, not me, Brother Pike. I said, you next? Sure, it can happen to you. They were young. You know what it is? You're too intellectually brilliant. You think too highly of yourself, not soberly, according to the measure of faith that God has dealt to you. And some of you that think the highest of yourself, you're the smallest ones I got. In the sight of God, I can tell by the Spirit, you are in trouble, and you're the smallest ones I got. And yet you're so sure that you're brilliant. That's where you get in trouble. See, that's not faith. Not faith at all. Esteeming yourself to be something when you're nothing. So think soberly. What have you done? What have you done for God? The Bible said to think soberly and look at what you've done for God and then think of yourself according to that measure. Because it's not the measure of your natural skill, your intellectual brilliance. It's not the evaluation according to what you are or what you think you are or what you've accomplished in the natural. That's not it. What have you done spiritually? That's what you are. And that's what you are eternally. So then, according to what you've done, then think of yourself according to that measure, because that's what you are, no matter what you say. And that's why I tell you folks over and over, do something. Do something. Get in and do something. Do something extraordinary. Stop feeding the belly. Stop worrying about the family. God said to seek the kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. Stop that foolishness. Stop going around in an intellectual circle in the wilderness to die and to be thrown to the worms. Snap out of that and do something for God. Pray, fast, study to show yourself approved. Help the poor, the widows, the needy. Evangelize the world. Do something. I got some young boys here that's doing more than some of you grown men and women has done. They've done more in X amount of months than you've done in many years of being here at Bethlehem, just since they started driving in. I see those Jews over yonder. When really there is no such thing as a Jew outwardly. There is no such a thing. You know, you say, Brother Pike, are you a Jew Gentile? I'm Jew. Oh, somebody said, no, you're Gentile. No, I'm Jew. Say, but they're Jews over yonder. No, they're not Jews. They're Gentiles. Oh, somebody says, you're crazy. Oh, no, I'm not crazy. I was born a Gentile and died, and they buried me. And I was born again a Jew. And the Bible said, he that inwardly is a Jew is a true Jew and the only Jew. There is no other Jew. Those people that are over there in Israel, those are not Jews. They think they're Jews. People call them Jews. But they're not Jews. Because Paul said there is no such thing. There are some Israelites over there that's of the seed of Jacob. And the Bible said it's pertaining to that the whole household of Israel will be saved. So I said all that to say this. Are we really doing anything for God? Have we really been born again? Those people over there are Jews, as to their speculation. They think they're doing great and mighty things for God when they ain't doing nothing. Nothing. Somebody said, well, bless God, I know they are. Well, why did Paul then say to them, every wise man that God ever sent you, you killed him. Said you stoned him to death. And said the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost. Does that sound like the blessings of God on them? No. See, it's the same way with us over here, folks. If we're not real Jews by new birth, and if we're not really getting in and giving our body a living sacrifice as a reasonable service to God, if we're not waking up in the morning with one incentive, and that's the labor that we might have to give, or to get out and do something for God physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever, then that means that we don't measure up to very much in the sight of God. I don't care what you think of yourself. What Brother Pike thinks of himself, it's what God thinks of us. Let's give him another hand. That's why I preach to you like I do. Do something. I'm going to say this and try to close. You're headed for the judgment. You're losing your life every day. Now, do something. Because at the end of your lifespan, you're going to be just as dead as if you'd worked all your life for God. When you die, you're done. So if you do all of the things you do for the flesh, when you get out the end of the way, you're nothing but just something to be fed to the worms. But if you'll listen at me and do the things I tell you to do, follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said, Then when you get to the end of the way and you look back, remember, had you lived your life for the devil, it would still be gone. Living it for God, you've used it up at the end of the way. But you can look back and say, Lord, you said he that loseth his life for my sake shall gain it, and that unto eternal life. And I've lost my life for your sake. I've given it up in the world and the things of the world and my desire to do your will and your desire. And now I'm eternal. But if you get to the end of the way and you've used your life for your own belly, for your own desire, for your own things, for your own way of life, for your own family, instead, as the Bible said, leaving family and wife and everything else, that is turning away from everything to follow Christ and to trust him. When you get to the end of the way, you're going to say, I've been a fool. I've saved my life and reserved it unto my own desire. And now I am to be eternally doomed and damned in the lake of fire. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing I Love Him. I love him. I love him, all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Can you sing that one? If you love him, keep his commandments. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he just my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing that with me? The altars are open as we sing this. If you want the Lord to come into your heart, just come on down to the altar. Night after night, talking with you, trying to help you to renew your covenant with God, to renew your desire of the Lord, that you might be strong and healthy, well in the sight of Jesus. I'm so healthy and strong and well in the sight of Jesus. He takes care of me year after year. I go into places overseas. People get sick. They get tore up. Dying conditions, and some of them do die. I hear testimonies of men that travel. They tell me these things. Into places like South America and Mexico and different places. And they just about die. But you know, I go by faith. I trust the Lord. And He's kept me alive even until this day. And as I told you a few days ago when I was in Russia, down in Leningrad, they said, you cannot drink the water. Absolutely not. Mexico, South America, you can't drink the water. Deadly. But like over in Leningrad, through the night I got thirsty. I didn't have any water. I got up. I went to the spigot. Something said, you can't drink this water. I said, oh yes, I can drink this water. I got me a glass of water and I turned it up and it was good. And I said, Lord, sanctify this water. I want the second glass. And I turned it up. Third glass. And on and on and on I drank. Didn't bother me a bit. You know why? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. I went there to do something for Jesus. And the Bible said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Tread on serpents. Take up serpents. They're not going to harm you. You know why? Because you've got life. You've got life. When the serpent bit Paul, he didn't get frustrated. He just shook it off. Oh, somebody says, but Brother Pike, that was yesterday. Things like that doesn't happen anymore. But I've seen it happen, even in our ministry. As a matter of fact, we got Randy standing here, Brother Owen's son, where a snake bit him. He come to us, we prayed. It really shook him up. It really affected him. But he took faith, shook it off. That was the end of it. God does that because God loves us. God loves us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we sing another chorus or two together before we go? Well, I looked over the Jordan. What did I see? Coming to carry me home was the band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. You love the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me a key, friend. I'll go with Him through the garden. Can you sing that with me? I'll go with Him through the garden, and I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. And where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him, with him. He will give me of his grace and of his glory. He will give me of his grace and glory. And he will give me of his grace and glory. So I'll go with him, all the way. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Give me a cue. I've turned it all over to him. I've turned it all over. This situation that you call life's great story, I've turned it all. Sing that with me. Well, we've turned it all over to him. We've turned it all over to him. This situation that you call life great story, I've turned it all over to him. Let us turn it all over to him. Old friend, turn it all over to him. This situation that you call life's great story, let's turn it all over. Sing it with me one more time. Well, I've turned it all over to him. I've turned it all over to him. This situation that you call life's great story, I've turned it all over. One more time. Well, we've turned it all over. Him. We've turned it all over him. This situation that you call life great story, I've turned it all over to him. You love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. A few days ago overseas we wrote that song. The Lord gave it to us. Gave us some other songs. Gave us one all over the world. Maybe sometimes we'll sing a little close of it. I don't sing my songs much, Brother Taylor, he sings them. Let's sing this little chorus that'll come from the east and the west. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. Just a little exaltation, a little worship of God with you. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace. has gems in his crown to shine. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's look unto Christ. And let's ask of him. Brother Taylor sings a song. He walked with Elijah. Lord, walk with me. You walk with Daniel. Lord, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Lord, walk with me. Like you walked with Abraham, Lord, walk with me. We preach all these great, wonderful things to you about how that God walked with Daniel. Today, Daniel, as to the obituary or as to the history of Daniel, he's the great and mighty, beloved man of God. Abraham, the great, wonderful father of the faithful. Gideon, O thou mighty man of valor. Moses, no man in all the land like Moses. John, a man sent from God, more than a prophet. And on and on and on, these great, wonderful things follow the great men of old. Now, let us pray that these things will follow our life. For the Bible said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Let's let it be said that at Bethlehem we pray for the sick and they recover. Let's have faith in God. I challenge your faith tonight. If you've never used your faith, start using your faith. Stop trying to figure it out and work it out for yourself. Your strength is going to give out one day. What are you going to do then? When your strength gives out, when your health is gone, what are you going to do then? Let's use our faith in God. Let's use our faith in God. You can do it, folks. You can do it. There's not a one of you here but what you can do it. Let's have faith in God. Brother Taylor again sings the song, Have Faith in God. Let's have faith in God tonight. I want you to have faith. I really want you to have faith. You said, but I've tried to believe, Brother Pike, and it didn't happen. I know, but you believed in your head. Jesus said, if thou canst believe in thine heart and doubt not, you can have whatever you say. He said, decree a thing in your heart, and it'll come to pass. Purpose in your heart. He said, ask what you will in prayer and believe, and it'll be done unto you. And whatever things you ask in prayer, whatsoever you ask. He said, believing in your heart, not doubting, you'll have it. Said, so when you desire anything, when you pray, he said, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it. Folks, this is not some myth. This is not some tale. This is not just some sermon. This is the truth. Ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Whether it be the truth as to tell you not the gossip or the truth as to tell you to believe in God will give you all things in prayer. So when you desire something, you pray, believe that you receive it. And ye shall have it. So tonight when you go to pray, if there's something that you're really wanting, don't doubt. Just go to the Lord in prayer. And say, Lord, now Brother Pike said that you said, if I would ask something of you, and then believe that I'm going to get that thing that I asked for, that you're going to give it to me. I'm going to get it. It's going to come to pass. That I'm going to get it. You know, I asked God to give every one of my children an experience. And the devil says, well, you can't pray like that because all of them. You know, you just have to let the ones come that will and whatever. And there's some of them that's going to die and go to hell because there's just people that's going to die and go to hell. There's people. I said, no, that ain't what the Bible says. I said, I'm going to pray. You're going to give my folks an experience. Heavenly Father, because that's your promise. And the devil ain't going to talk me out of it. I said the other night that every one of them has had an experience with God. Every one of them. I've seen every one of them year after year come and get an experience with God. See, pray and believe. Don't doubt. But pray and believe. Because God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. You say, well, I want him to give me. You don't know how much he wants to give to you. He wants to give to you 10 times 10. What you would like for him to give to you. 10 times 10, his desire is greater than yours to give to you what the devil talks you out of. telling you that you're not good enough and that God doesn't really want to do it, and that's not for you anyway, and you shouldn't do that, and you don't have the faith and all that kind of stuff. Let's close our eyes together. Let's lift our hands up. Brother Ted is going to play the song, Have Faith in God, and we're going to sing it together. Lift your hands up, close your eyes, and tell the Lord what you want. And the Bible says if any two of you agree as touching anything, asking it of God, God will give it to you. So tonight we're going to agree with you. We're going to agree with you. You agree with us, we're going to agree with you. I promise you God will give it to you. Are we so blind that we cannot look back and see the many things that God has given us as to healings and health and blessings of our children and deliver them? As to houses and lands and all of the great wonderful potentials of life that He's already blessed us with? Peace. While others have had such heartaches and problems and sorrow. Are we so blind that we cannot see all those great mighty things He's already done? Shouldn't that encourage your faith to believe even the more? So let's sing it together. Have faith in God. Have faith in in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Sing it again. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith. Jesus, when they marveled, when they saw the fig tree, Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Even as the faith of a grain of mustard seed, so tiny it is. Folks, strengthen your faith. The Bible said strengthen that remains, lest God come and remove your candlestick. Strengthen your faith. Pray, fast, study, meditate in His Word day and night. Stop gossiping, backbiting, finding fault, lusting, coveting, going after the things of the world. Get your vision in God. Strengthen your faith. The Bible said to contend for the faith. That means you've got to fight the devil. You've got to do something. You've got to try to live an overcoming life. You've got to press in. You've got to be concerned about a vision for God. Don't idle along and drift along every day of your life. Don't do that. Sorrow will come to you and your loved ones. Sorrow will come to your house. And after a while, you'll try like Samson. You'll say, I believe. But it's like Samson. Many times he went out, he shook himself at the Philistines, and his mighty strength was there. And that great, mighty strength rolled through that body. He was strong, he was mighty, because it was Christ in him, the hope of glory. But when Delilah cut his locks off and he violated the principles of God as to what God had told him, he ran out, he shook himself at other times, but he didn't have the strength. They overpowered him, and the great mighty Samson was helpless in the hands of those strong soldiers. See, you'll run out and shake yourself to the extent you'll say, I believe, I got problems, I'll believe. But you'll find out your strength is gone. That's why the Bible said, let the weak say I'm strong, even the power of my might as to the works I've done in your behalf. Take courage and believe. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Practice faith. Contend for that faith. So that when the time comes that you need it, you'll have the shield of faith and it'll quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Can you sing it with me again? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You're my spiritual children. You're my children in God. I want you to have faith in God. Because this is my God. This is my God. The God of Jacob. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. Have faith. We're living in a crushing moment. We're living in a bad day. We're living in a day when you've got to have faith to overcome the wicked one. There are diseases everywhere. There are oppressions everywhere. There's problems everywhere. There's threats everywhere. There's evils everywhere. You've got to have faith in God. One more time, sing it with me. Have faith in God. Sing it with me. Have, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Folks, all things are possible to you because you're believers. You're believers. Let your faith go out to God. Turn your faith loose. Don't hold on to it. When you let that old mind of doubt and fear and despondency and worry, trying to figure it out, it holds your faith back. Turn it loose. Let it go out there. Just trust in what he said. Let it go out there. I feel somebody letting theirs go out. I can feel it tonight. I can feel it because I can feel virtue going out of my body. And I can feel your faith going out to Christ tonight. I can feel it. Pulling virtue from the memberships of the body of Jesus Christ. You're pulling healing, health and strength, happiness. You're pulling it out of the body of Christ. Look toward the temple. It was said unto Solomon. And everyone that looks toward the temple and prays, God will hear their prayer and answer from heaven. And we're the temple of Almighty God tonight. And when you look to the body of Christ, that the virtue is in the body. The little woman just sought to touch the body. And Jesus said, virtue went out of me. And the Bible says that virtue went out of him and healed all of them. Said it went out of him and healed all of them. Virtue will go out if you pray and believe because it's in the body of Christ. And I felt some faith go out a few minutes ago and I felt virtue going out. So tonight, let's lift our hearts to God. Let's lift our faith to God and turn our faith loose into the hands of Almighty God. Can you sing it again? As you believe, tell him what you want. Make your petition known. Come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need because we are there not because of our merits, but because of his merits. So let's believe. Have faith. Can you look up to God now? Can you look to Christ now? Can you think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Can you think about these mighty men that had faith in God, what God done in their lives? The Bible said God is able to do abundantly above all that we're able to ask a thing by the Spirit that worketh within us. How? Faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. While you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, I want to say again, we're glad to have you here. Appreciate you coming out and be with us every night. Every night that you come, I deeply appreciate it. I thank God for you. Listen at me because the days are getting darker and darker. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Armstrong to come up here and pray. And while Gary's coming to pray tonight, I want you to have faith in God. It's not just a song. It's not something we said. It's something I want you to do. Something I want you to practice. Have faith in God. I want you to go away tonight with this thought in mind, that my faith in God has been challenged. I'm going to have faith in God. Now, I've grown up with Brother Pike around here. I've been with him and I've seen him use faith over and over and over and over to go around the world to supply people's needs, to help others, to feed the hungry and the poor. So I know that it's real. I know he's no better than I am. God has no respect of person. God loves me just like he loves Brother Pike. There's no difference. And I saw some of these other men and I saw some of these other women as their faith was challenged. People like Sister Anna and some of the others. There's Brother Taylor, there's Sister Linda, there's Sister Cook, many of the others, they've had their faith challenged, and that with diseases. Even Sister Linda's was challenged with cancer. But they had faith in God. They're still healthy and strong and victorious because they had faith in God. They've got faith in God. And when you've got faith in God, you can help others. You can bring deliverance to your own house. Your whole household will be saved by your faith. So then, as Brother Gary comes to pray with you, let's have faith in God.